Good afternoon, Muskegon. It's February the 3rd, 2023. It's time for Torn Into, your show for news, information, and more. Hi, I am your host, Gregory T. Roberts, with the co-host, Pastor Melvin C. Burns. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, my brother. How are you today?
I'm doing well. First of all, man, I really want to thank you for volunteering your services to help Muskegon Heights. That was commendable.
Just brother, you know what? Today is my dad, would have been my dad's 97th birthday. And he told me, God, family, community. And I just offered to help my community, brother, just like I was taught.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you. We had to get back to the job that we're talking about. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the issue that is taboo. We don't want to talk about it, but it assists in our community. And it's really, really bad. 1 in 6, I believe, girls, and 1 in 8 boys. So just go out and count 6 homes in your neighborhood. Somebody's in trouble in 1 of those 6. Girls, count 8. 1 of the 8. There's somebody being in trouble, and we're not talking about this issue. Now, I understand that there are a lot of issues we could be talking about right now, but you know what? The radio station is doing a great job covering what's happening in the Heights. And guys, continue to do that. We're going to continue our mission on helping the hurt on this show. Today on the show, these are two guys with their boots on the ground again. And these are two guys that I love dearly. They have influenced my life in one way or another. And they definitely have some stories to tell you. Listen, I told these guys to not be shy about what's happening in our community and tell the stories. There's sexual abuse with kids. Kids grow up to be older, and hurt people hurt people. Join me today with my guests, Mr. Lewis Churchwell and Mr. Cedric Scott. How you guys doing today?
Doing well. Doing pretty good.
Good afternoon, brothers.
Guys, there's no way around it. It's not cute. It's not one of those issues that we could be talking about right now. This is a hurt. It's a hurting issue. And people like to bury their head in the sand. And we said, not here. We're not going to do it. We're going to bring awareness to it. We're going to bring people that have their boots on the ground. And we started this with a guy who was abused by construction workers and his choir teacher in church. That's how we started this. And it was the first time we did it. So with that said, first question is to you guys. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves and your credentials? Cedric?
Cedric Scott, I am the CEO of Lazarus Man Consulting, a community counseling center here in Muskegon Heights. I am a limited licensed psychologist, which is master's level psychologist in Michigan, certified alcohol drug addiction counselor, and also a United States Department of Transportation substance abuse professional. And recently a graduate of University of Michigan's School of Management business program. Recently completed that last December.
Congratulations, sir, and you picked the right school too. And also joining us, he has been with me, I've known this man for years, basketball and you name it, Mr. Lewis Churchwell. How you doing, sir?
Man, I'm blessed and highly favored, man. Thanks for asking.
You're MSMA LLPC clinical at Health West. Break that down.
Well, I'm a master's level addiction professional, and then the MA is I'm a master's level limited licensed professional counselor. And I'm also a a certified addiction specialist with Cedric. That's where we started, one, I think, with the addiction.
Well,
and I'm here at Health West.
Well, I want to thank you for being here. A little bit under the weather, and I appreciate your dedication. Mm-hmm. Guys, first question to both of you guys. When I talked about this issue being a problem in Muskegon County, am I lying? First you, Cedric.
I'm sorry.
Am I lying? Is this a problem in Muskegon County?
It is a very, very deep issue in the Muskegon County, as well as across the world. I mean, across the United States, this is a prevalent issue, so much so that the Diagnostic Statistical Manual have deemed it necessary to provide a disorder and criteria for some of the components of this child abuse called pedophilia, which is usually prepubescence young children, which is pre-puberty, 13 years and younger.
Okay.
So it has garnered itself a spot in the psychology or psychiatric Bible, if you will, shows you how prevalent it is. And I could give you some numbers as to how deep it goes.
Please do.
And you got to look at 3 to 7 million people in the United States probably deemed to have one of this variety of pedophilia. So that's, as you mentioned, 1 in 6 homes. You're talking to 300 million people. How many different homes can that 3 to 7%, I'm sorry, not million, but percent of the United States have this pedophilia? So that's a high percentage of individuals.
Wow.
That suffer from this. So it's a prevalent issue. Yes, it is. And so one that has to be addressed as you're going about doing it by educating the community, educating others who are unaware of it, and how they can go about addressing it, bringing it to the light, and fortunately, possibly treating it. And there is treatment for it.
Lewis?
Well, as Cedric said, it's a problem not here, only here in Muskegon, but this is across the world. And the problem with this issue is that the issue is not understood by professionals. And what makes it not understandable is it's not an issue to where you can point a finger at somebody and tell it's them. It's not like somebody going out and robbing a bank and you can put together some DNA and different things like that and track them down. And I want to keep it real to the people to where they can know and understand this. You see, this issue is with that very loving uncle that comes to visit you, or you go to stay with, or that very melodious laughing grandfather you go to see, or that neighbor who's so kind, gives away treats and keeps the kids laughing, doing different things of that nature. And that's what makes this particular illness, and as Cedric would agree, it is a illness, so hard to deal with. In fact, the numbers that they pulled out of the hat with the 1 in 6 is, they're just putting them out there, but it's much higher than those numbers that they're pulling out, And the thing is, there's so many ways that these pedophiles get away with doing their craft. You got some pedophiles that get away with getting the kids together and making the kids touch each other and play with each other and do with stuff. And like they're playing a game, doing things. And they're taking pictures and videos. And later they do lose stuff with themselves. Then you got the pedophiles that actually, you know, start grooming the kids for penetration by, you know, they call it raising them, touching them, playing with them, until they can get them old enough to where they can go all the way with them. So you can't point to this person. You got the police officer who is a real bad pedophile that makes kids trust him and, you know, will pick up a kid to give him a ride and then molest him, that follows the kid the rest of his life. You even got preachers, hear me now, ministers, popes. You look at the Catholic Church, the church that just got totally busted wide open. It shows you that this is a disease. Now, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, we can't fight back, because it has been shown that treatment can work with these guys. You know, they used to do treatment with some of these guys called shock treatment, and Cedric could probably go into some of that better than me. You know, shocking them and doing all kinds of stuff, man, trying to get the answer. But we know now there's answers to some that you mentioned, repeating behavior. But with others, it's a sickness, a psychological sickness that you have to deal with. I don't want to take up too much time. Cedric, you can chime in here.
Well, you're right. It is a disease, and it is treatable, but it's not curable, to my understanding at this time. And the treatment simply refers to the treatment that they would no longer act out, that they're in remission in terms of their acting upon those sexual deviant thoughts and acts. As I mentioned earlier, I said 3 to 7%. It's 3 to 5% of our American population that suffer from this pedophilic mental health disorder. And we talked about the disease. In any disease, there must be an organ. So when Lewis says that, yes, it's a disease, what he's referring to is the disease of the mind, right? Where in their minds, their mind's eye, they have this very, for lack of trying to make it sound exotic, but their unique desire for 13-year-old children and below, some or reason or another, they're stimulated and motivated, quite frankly, to act on some of what we would consider in psychology sexual deviant activities, any touching, groping, molesting of any sexual act or connotation toward minor children in our society, as far as I know of today, is considered a deviant act. And therefore, it is deemed that there's a mental disorder, mental thing going on when one would persistently continue to pursue that type of behaviors in our society. And so it's treatable. And I'm not that guy that provides that treatment, but there are some specialists in our community that have that knack to provide a lot of therapy and treatment for specific. This is a specific niche in our community that address simply these type of individuals. And they should be. And the information should be passed out in our community where this can be received. Unfortunately, I didn't do my homework, so I don't have it for you today.
It is treatable. And I was a mentor of a guy that just got out of prison. Mentored. We did things together. Went out to lunch. We went out and did activities together. I mentored him for several years. It's treatable because it's been 17, 18 years. He's been out of prison, has a family, has a job, doing extremely well. It's treatable, but it's a thing that we have to do. One of the things I want, and I want to get Pastor Melvin Burns on this, is that it's about 81% of the people that are molesting people are being molested by someone they know. 81%. Would you guys agree?
There's a high degree of probability to that. Yeah, I confer that that's possible. And only because I see that the possibility of this occurring only when there is a high degree of trust and misconception or misdirection, deceptions, if you will. So in order for that to occur, oftentimes it's the person that you've had some relative relationship with, not necessarily a relative in terms of my uncle, my sister, my brother, but relative in terms of I have some familiarity with you. So then, therefore, you must be okay. Or my uncle and cousins know you, so you must be okay. And or I developed a relationship with you and didn't know that you were a wolf in sheep's clothes in the first place, et cetera, et cetera. So some relative association. So, yeah, I concur, but I'm not going to say that that's the absolute because I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, likewise.
Pastor Burns.
I don't know, you all primarily deal with substance abuse counseling. Where do you see the cross-section of those two in your in your treatment processes?
Well, first of all, I think substance abuse has nothing to do with pedophilia.
Okay.
Now, you know, when a person has pedophilia, they have pedophilia.
Okay.
Some people might drink to get up the courage to act on the urge that they've had inside. Okay. The pedophiles deal with urges, and these urges that they have, you know, it causes them to act out their fantasies in different ways.
Mm-hmm. And mental images are associated with that. They couple that with mental images.
Yeah, they couple that with mental, exactly. Well said. And so those things, you know, when you put substance abuse in it, it causes it to. And then you get some of them that, you know, I can recall counseling with a guy who had guilt because he knew it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But his impulses, he couldn't stop himself.
Wow.
And the kid that he was molesting was his very own daughter. So now he come into treatment for substance abuse, thinking that that's the issue.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I had to send him off to a guy who does the work that Cedric do now.
Mm-hmm.
Because substance abuse was not the problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, substance abuse may have been the disinhibitor, the thing that allowed him to do it more freely or more actively, and lowered that guilt, lowered the understanding, if you will, the restrictive understanding that this is taboo. This is not something I should be doing. We all know that substance abuse is a disinhibitor, and therefore, when you're on substances, you're more likely to do more sexual deviant activities, as well as develop more sexual addictions due to your continued substance use.
Yeah.
I've often said that, well, and I treat it this way, all of my cocaine addicts, all right, I won't blanket that. I'll say 80% of my cocaine addicts have a sexual addiction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, that's my, that is my.
You said 80%, right?
Opinion.
Yeah.
So, this is in the DSM, all right?
So, you just see, you've seen that strong correlation.
I had a total experience.
You said 80% of your cocaine.
Very high, brother Grant. It is, yeah. as you do your psychosocial, and Dr. Churchwell can talk, he'll chime in here. You do your psychosocial and you start talking more about when you get to the sexual identities and homosexuality, blah, 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 and they start to let you know, I got that problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. More times than not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you got to realize the only, you know, when you talk about the dopamine in the brain, you know, the only thing that can come close to producing, you know, or the type of pleasure that cocaine does,
sexual activity, no doubt.
You know, so that's why when they stop using cocaine, their need to have sex is off the chain, and you have to have a plan for that as well.
That's why I always treat them as if that's just a. That's a tertiary issue that we're always aware of.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know, so, yeah, it's not the alcohol. If it was the alcohol or the drugs, man, we'd be in good shape. Because all we have to do is to get them sober and control the drinking and drugging, and we would be able to get rid of, you know, the pedophiles or the sex offenders. That's another reason why professionals don't let this particular disease be excused. You know, people could get this expunged, they can get this expunged, but not sex offenders. They can forgive all kind of things. Let them work in schools, let them work in other things, but if they got a sex offender on there, you can't work around kids.
Okay.
Because working around them kids is going to raise up, you know, them impulses.
Sure.
And they're afraid of what that might do. Now, you can get them to somebody like Cedric and he can work with them, get them to control it, teach them how to use, you know, safe words and safe things to get them out of tight situations. But we have to be very real here. For the community, the parents got to do a better job of parenting.
Okay.
Hello.
We got sloppy parenting, and that sloppy parenting is putting their kids in bad positions. Do your job as a mother or a father, and you watch your own kids. Stop shipping your kids off anywhere and letting anybody keep your kids and watch your kids. If we get that type of parenting to come back, you know, back in our days, you know, they said, you know, in the black community, sex offenders and pedophilia didn't exist. I'm here to believe that it might have existed, but it was very little. That's why they said it didn't exist. And when you found out somebody had been sexually offended, it seemed like a real big deal. But now today, it's out of control in the black community. And that's because of sloppy parenting. If we can get these sloppy parents to stop wanting to get high, and using crack and them drinking. That's the modeling and that they're putting in front of our kids that cause some of our kids to do these things. Sometimes our kids are walking into pedophilia. Why? Because they're imitating mama. They watch their mama do this lewd act the other night. So they walk right into the man that their mama done it with when their mama ain't at home, and they did the same thing.
Got to go to the board. The first comment was from Beverly Wells. Says, amen to the parenting comment. Yeah. Thank you, Beverly. Guys, man, this thing has just been mind-boggling to me. But just the other day, talking to a friend about what's going on, and he raises his hand and says, I was molested too. That's how deep it is. How true is the statement, hurt people hurt others?
Very true. But let me, I want to go back to what Dr. Churchwell said there about it not being as prevalent in our generation and days. That may be true, but I also want to maybe contribute to the fact of what you just said, that more people are raising their hand. Mm-hmm. When we were growing up, you know, there was always that what's said here, done here in our house.
Don't say a word.
Uh-huh, outside our homes.
Right.
So now there's been a little bit of that barrier lowered now where, you know, and to some good and to some bad, because now if you get a spanking, the child going to call 911 on you too, which means more like report things that's happening in the house. But that's a side effect, we'll call it, of teaching our children to be more open and transparent about some of the aspects of their day-to-day living. Now, I think that may contribute as well to why we see more of it or hear more of it today, that people are more willing now because of platforms like yours today, Mr. Gregg. People are talking about this more and they feel comfortable talking to Mr. Churchwell, Mr. Barnes, and people like yourself about these issues, knowing that they'll be kept confidential. So
one of the things I did when it came down to disciplining my children, and it's not accessible for anything, my thing was I'll dial a 9 and 1 and dare you to push down the 1. Because you're going to get disciplined in my house. Question coming to you, Mr. Byrne.
It says from Rhonda Aubrey. She says, speak the truth. Parenting is community-based. Parents must be held accountable instead of enabling the parents. I think we agree there, don't we? I want to ask y'all a question. Growing up in this community, you know, I'm a 13, 14, 50-year-old boy. You know, what's wrong with me wanting a cougar, wanting a 20, 30-year-old woman? That's not sexual abuse. That just be wanting to get some experience.
The hell with that. This sexual abuse. Let me tell you, I'm raising my hand right now.
But we know we grew up, you grew up around the fellas talking, you know, that was how it was taught. And I'm sure that hadn't changed. I ain't old enough that hadn't changed. Speak to that.
Well, that's our double standard lifestyle here in America. You know, 13-year-old boy. Having a little fun with maybe his teacher or some of his brother's college girlfriends. That's not, yeah. The boy's just sowing his oats. He's just trying to find himself. Come on.
Come on. Yeah, we're okay.
Right? You know. But that's also difficult for us to track as well, because young man, Ms. Churchwell, co-sign with me on that. If that was happened to us as young men, I'm not saying that did, we're more or less likely to tell anyone about it. Now, aren't we? Not for fear of reprisal, but for fear of it stopping.
I'm going to tell it like it is. I'm raising my hand, 16 years old, 24-year-old woman.
I'm just saying.
Hey, and you think at that time that hey, you're the man. Yeah. And then you don't find how much damage that is doing to you, especially when she's sleeping with other people.
Absolutely. Because I don't care if you're a male or female, you still don't have the maturity and the ability to process all that's going on with you.
Yeah.
And your cerebral cortex, let's just say your prefrontal cortex, it hasn't developed appropriately enough yet, doesn't have those brain cells fired up enough to comprehend all of that. And there hasn't been a process, you haven't been processed through to your sexual aspects of your life at that time. You may think you are, you may think you have, but, and then again, there lies where the roads are then going different ways, creating to a fork where you're, if you were sexually abused by another male, you may be on that road now. You may say, I've had clients say that that's what turned them gay. Mm-hmm. They were abused by a man and they're upset with their parents even today because they didn't give them the opportunity to choose. Mm-hmm. Now in our social construct, in our communities, we're all cultivated to a certain way as young men that we should like girls. The girls should like boys. We have a social cultural conditioning process that we do in our families, homes, church, et cetera, et cetera. And so at 13, 10, 13 years old when sexual acts of such, that sort of thing right there, it tend to burn a brand in your brain at some point, one way or another.
Yeah. You know, let me go back to the earlier statement I made with the young lady, young person, you know, putting himself in harm's way to be sexually molested. Okay? These 13, 14, 16-year-old kids, you know, the molestation comes in the fact that Cedric mentioned it. Their brains have not developed, and they're not nowhere near fully developed to comprehend this level of activity. Mm-hmm. When they're messing with these older women are doing things to them. And when they fall in love with these older women, and these older women pushing them away, some of these young men are messed up.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they don't understand. And they want her back, and they love what she was doing to them, and for the most part, for them.
They haven't been taught to understand rejection. How exactly rejection. Mm-hmm. How to cope with the possibility of guilt or shame associated with your, we don't want this type of relationship with you anymore. Why not? Am I not good enough? Am I not the best person for your relationship with you? You know, so now all these questions are circulating in that little brain, that 12-year-old brain that hasn't been cultivated and matured enough to understand who they are, what they represent, and what their potentials are for future. They're confused. Now they may start experimenting with a whole lot of different things. Sexually deviant activities.
Yes.
Drugs, alcohol, homosexuality.
You're watching or listening to Torn to Two. If you have any questions, you can catch us on Facebook, WVASLPE 103.7 The Beat Facebook site, or M106. You can catch us on YouTube. If you're listening to us on the radio and would like to play this back, it's on our sites or the Emoji app. Question coming to you from Houston, Texas, Michael Anthony Smith.
Michael says, this type of parent you are talking about has little regard for their own bodies. Yeah.
Mm.
Yes.
And
Let me take this. I got to take this one. So from Savannah Jackson, my dad, it never got to the point where we had to ever think about calling the police. LOL. You had a great balance when it came down to discipline. Thank you, my daughter. Appreciate it. The check is in the mail. Okay. All right. Okay. So, guys, I want to go back and say to the people that you may be out there hurting people. This is a plea, number one, for you to get help. But this is also... We're looking at, because you were probably abused as well, and I go preach in the prison every fourth Thursday, and years ago when I used to go to prison, when you sexually abused somebody, it was like it was your butt because they were going to take care. Now they have whole wings just for sexual people, of sexual deviants, and it's crazy. Mr. Churchwell.
Well, you know, one of the things in years ago, you know, I stood up and I fought for sexual deviants to have more treatment and have access to more therapy and counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And back at a time when they had decided and they put the budget in and they weren't going to spend any money on sexual deviant. Their mindset was, if you're a sexual deviant, we're going to put you all together and we're not going to use no taxpayer dollars to throw away on you.
Very sad.
And I helped some people understand. I like to think I was one of the ones to help some people to understand at the state level that this is just opposite of what needs to be done.
Yeah.
You got to throw some money on it. The average sexual offender only stays in prison 1 to 2 years.
Mm.
And then he comes out because you guys have created these special units. And now he comes out with other tactics and tricks he's used from these other inmates he hung around with. And he's more deviant coming out than he was going in. And if we really want to keep the children safe and the kids safe, we need to make sure that they're providing treatment to these guys in prison.
Right.
So they're not going in and learning more deviant behavior, but they're going in and they have to complete certain types of treatment before they can get out of there. If they don't get that treatment, you know, bury them up in there. Because as Cedric said earlier, they can be treated, but at this point in time, it's no cure in sight.
Wow.
Because
how can you hold them accountable if you haven't done what Lewis is suggesting, providing them the ultimate level of treatment to make the necessary changes to refrain from the impulses, refrain from the acts? Without the treatment, how would I really come to understand and know what I'm doing and saying is truly deviant?
So the treatment, they have to have that treatment before they leave and after the boards are lined up, guys. Back to Savannah. Most of the people I know have been molested in one way or another. It's very sad. Now, what makes me sad about that, guys, is that with my daughter, I coached most of her teams. And I was there around not only on her teams, but a lot of people for 30-some-odd years. And a lot of she's 25 years old, and she said most of the people she knew. So that means a lot of the people I knew were being molested. That hurts to the core.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that reflects what Mr. Churchwell attempted to address with the new parenting styles being as loose, I won't call it loose, for I don't want to diminish the people's parenting styles, but having more trusting, allowing more freedoms to our young women and men than are probably necessary for a healthy growth process for them. I'll put it in a diplomatic way so we don't get sued, yeah. Brother Greg. But,
well, yeah. I mean, and this right here, the cell phone and the internet, it's terrible. Hey, the boards are lighting up. Question, Melvin Burns, coming to you.
Rhonda Aubrey says, how does the stages of change work with these people? Are they seeking help or playing a game?
You know, that's a question, Sister Rhonda, and that's my girl. Me and Rhonda go back. I appreciate it. She's a very smart woman herself. And it's amazing that she's asking me a question that she already has the answer to. But the reality is this. Some of them take the stages of change very serious, and they try. Others don't. There are some who have in their mind and have lodged in their mind that they're going to cooperate with anything anybody bring at them just to get free so they can go back to doing their old manipulative ways.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some who really, really want to get beyond their disease. The one thing that holds a lot of these perpetrators at bay is that thing that God gave man. And Cedric mentioned this as well. Shame and guilt.
Mm.
And there's a lot of them that have that shame and guilt. And they want to find themselves. But there's a whole mess of them that don't. The stages of change should be brought to a lot of them. Should be brought to all of them. But they're not all going to take it. That's the problem when you're dealing with pedophilia. Habophilia. And these types of things. They're going to continue to feed that beast that sent them. And excuse my way of thinking, Melvin Burns, you're a pastor, you understand this. Some of these guys are just destined for hell. And those are the ones we need to make sure. And to Brother Cedric, going back on that parenting thing, go back to teaching your babies the difference between somebody helping them in school to use the bathroom and somebody rolling their little wee-wee around, that they don't touch them like that and they don't play with them like that.
That's right. Safe places, safe touches,
safe
hugs,
yeah.
Safe conversations. You know, we don't want to make the whole thing such a paranoid, schizophrenic type of atmosphere that you can't hardly say hello to a kid. But there's appropriate and inappropriate behavior.
Yes.
I work with kids every day.
Yeah.
I have been for it now, Lewis, 28 years.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Now, I'm knocking wood, but I like to think there is a certain level of appropriateness I demonstrate with each and every one of them that is clearly delineated when you want to discern whether or not it's sexual deviant or inappropriate behavior and touching. You learn these things as a professional, and we need to learn these things as a layman or civilians as well.
Mm-hmm.
And be on the lookout for it.
Yeah.
And call out the individuals who cross those boundaries.
That's right. Now let me go to the board. Savannah says, what does it mean when a sexual offender is non-compliant? And Beverly Wells, to you guys, comment said, amen, amen, amen. But what does it mean for a sexual offender to be non-compliant? Cedric, we start with you.
Non-compliant with what? Non-compliant with what? Treatment plan? Last defense? Last impulse?
So basically you're saying it's just numerous.
Yeah, you have to be more specific.
More specific.
What does that mean, non-compliant?
I see.
When I hear non-compliant, I'm thinking he's not following his treatment plan. He's not participating in the process. As agreed upon, non-compliant. But ultimately, if he's non-compliant, he's deviating again with his disorder.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, Melvin C. Burns, pastor.
You know, our first brother we had on, that talked about being molested in church, and Gregory Day, it kind of hit me as a pastor, because my heart is I want people to be safe, and I take that very seriously. But tell me if you know, I want to say, speak to pastors, coaches, teachers. They get some training, but sometimes we see young people and we think something's off. You know, we think, you know, their affect is wrong. What kind of things should we be looking for or doing when we sense those kind of things?
Well, I wouldn't immediately go from zero to sexual abuse. I would go more or less to possible stressors, maybe caused by trauma. mm-hmm. caused by family life, school life, outside life, unless it's some severe act of deviant by that child, as, for example, inappropriately touching another child, their age or younger, I wouldn't assume it's sexual. I would assume, maybe some of the other childhood disorders.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Churchwell.
As far as going back to the question of non-compliant, I think, you know, the thing would be non-compliant to what? But if a person is in a non-compliance, that person is totally void of obeying the proper or necessary rules in order for them to do or complete something, in a sane way or a compliant way.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's not compliant, he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. That's the short version of saying it.
Right. Okay, Pastor Burns?
Yeah, Louis, I asked this question of a group of pastors 7-8 years ago. We were just talking. I said, what do you do if somebody comes in to see you and says, Pastor, I just want to tell you this. I want you to pray with me. I see these young girls and they're really attractive to me. What do you tell that pastor to do?
You know, it depends on, first of all, it depends on, you know, what age he's talking about when he say he see these young girls. You know, if you got a pastor that's 35 saying he's looking at these young girls that's 26, 27, 28, you know, it's a difference. And that's one of the things that years ago, you know, some molesters themselves tried to bring up for defense is that, I'm 22 and I got a girl that's 14. But what about if I'm 30 and I got a girl that's 22? Then, you know, we're going to be together that long, so we might as well just stay together till that happen. Well, it don't work. It don't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first of all, a kid, their brains ain't developed well enough to know what they want and they think what they want. So it depends on how old this guy's talking. And I don't have an idea what he's talking about when he sees young guys. He could be a young preacher. I know when I was a young preacher, in my, I was, 27, 28, I had a thing for 20, 21-year-old younger. but that didn't make me a pedophile because it was in the range. Mm-hmm. Now, if he's talking about young kids, then he has a problem. Mm-hmm. And the problem that he has is a problem that should be referred to a professional like Cedric.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go talk about. And I would commend him, if that's the case, I would commend him for bringing that out to you, mm-hmm. because it's really a subtle way of him asking you, Pastor, help me.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, yeah, and that's where I'm going. Pastors, we have this gift from God to teach and share the gospel. But people come to us with things that we need to recognize they're not our expertise, and recognize that everything will take some prayer and some other things.
Yeah,
and not for too long have kept people's secrets when they should have been taking some other actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. See, he does that. And especially in the world today, man, you're a preacher, but you're still a man and you're still human.
Mm-hmm.
And God make beautiful things. And you can see some young ladies that so beautiful. And then on top of that, the stuff that they wear now, you know, that should be banned. It should be banned, man. I mean, they walk around with stuff, man, that it should be banned with, man. I mean, these spandex and these tight things on them.
Yeah, we should sue that guy.
I tell people, don't let a $5 sundress get you in trouble for 18 years plus.
Oh, and get them in trouble, man. Mm-hmm.
Cedric, okay, here I am, and I see some kid that is just not acting right. What are some of the signs that I should look for in somebody that maybe is suffering from sexual abuse or any kind of abuse?
It's difficult to say. There's no one criteria, if you will, especially since this type of disorder or type of thing is so well held secret. The people who are victims and or perpetrators oftentimes are masters of deception. We learn to pretend to cover up our sin. So, but when you find allegations of touching, inappropriate touching, groping, I once knew an adult who I observed an adult once hug a child inappropriately. You know what I'm talking about? You know how we hug with our shoulder almost up? We taught to hug and almost sideways, if you will.
Yeah.
When you got that bro pastor and they're hugging full frontal grope.
Yeah.
Things of that nature. That's inappropriate behavior.
Yeah.
Right off the top of my head, there's no major criteria to look for except the inappropriate behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
The average person almost can recognize that's inappropriate. What's on your mind? Why are you doing that? You do know that's a private area, right? Et cetera, et cetera. Things that people are saying, implying to one another. Sexual innuendos all the time. And you can tell in some of the young ladies, they're always their behaviors, conversations are always sexual, as well as with men, always with sexual innuendos, if you know what I mean. Those are signs. Those are telltale signs that something's up.
Mm-hmm.
So I could get back with you on that and bring it to our next meeting. But That's right off the cuff. What I would say, look for.
Yeah. Gotta go back to the board. What a woman wears doesn't warrant sexual assault. You're right, Savannah. Thank you very much. I stand corrected on that joke. It
was a good joke though.
But yeah.
But it's bad, Savannah. You're right. It was bad. I thought it was funny.
I apologize for that. But no, it was a good joke. No woman.
And it's true. She is so right.
She's right.
Right on time with that.
She was raised right. And you know, but guys, we got 5 minutes left. And I'm gonna start with you, Mr. Churchwell, then Cedric. We talked about parenting. We talked about pastors, coaches, and all that kind of stuff having to come out, and we have to be out there more visible to look for signs, telltale signs, because it's out there. People are being molested. I just saw that statement from my daughter, and that hit home because I was with her most of the time. But yet, most of her friends who I know were molested. So what do we do? I started with Mr. Churchwell. What do you think we need that needs to be done?
I think one of the things, going back to that, you need to watch your children, you know, and to see. And there's very subtle signs. If they're starting to act, you know, older and more aggressively in their sexuality. You need to pay attention to that. If you're watching them and they're doing certain things to their younger brothers or sisters, you need to find out where they learned how to do that at. Who taught you that? You know, and if those sort of things are happening, watch what they say. Because sometimes when they're saying things to you, they'll be telling you something. And, well, who told you that? You know, if such and such said he's going to give me, you know, such and such. Okay, why did he tell you that? What did you have to do for him to tell you that? You know, these sort of things happen, especially with kids. They try to tell you, you know, every day, but you just got to, you just got to listen. You know, when, and watch, you know, what they're doing and how they're developing. And you can pick up some signs to be, to cue in on, to be careful. But all of us need to be aware that this is not a dead topic we're talking about. It's alive, and we need to pay attention to it, and we shouldn't be afraid of it. We need to face it head on. And the people that are experiencing as perpetrators, we need to get them to the right places to get the help they need.
Thank you, Mr. Scott.
So what Lewis is talking about also is closing that window of opportunity by maintaining an open, ended line of communication with your children. Closing that window of opportunity means I sent you over to practice at 6 o'clock and you said you're going to be home at 7. Where were you? Who did you talk to? Part of the parenting skills. Also, have in your conversations, being mindful of what's being said and who's saying it. So you're closing that window of opportunity by being involved in your child's day-to-day life and activities. A pedophile, the skilled pedophile is like in the wake, out in the wake, and is observing and calculating which vulnerable person that they have the most opportunity to intercept.
Lady J, put that hashtag up. We need you to support this. Last comment going to Beverly Wells. It's on their cell phones, monitor their cell phones. It's hashtag, okay. Hashtag turned into touch. Support it. Listen, it's a real issue. People are being molested out there, and you are. I just found out some stuff today that just really knocked me for a loop. But we're going to continue this fight. Last question and statement going to you, Mr. Burns.
Ron Darby's, you heard something. She says, this should be part two of this conversation due to a major point of disconnect between faith, professionalism, when pointing an issue to a professional CPS police, faith, shame, breaking their faith can be serious issues. With a certain degree, Ron, and we're going to continue this discussion. Brothers, I thank you all so much for being here today. You know, I love you, and I appreciate the fact that you guys want to take your time to inform our community.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, love you guys. Thank you so much. You. Hey, this is 22. We're done for today. It's 3 o'clock. Well, to Mr. Churchwell and Mr. Scott, thank you so much. We will continue this conversation. Next week, we have Elder Nathan Johnson from Fresh Coast will be on to talk, and we're going to get, hopefully, someone that has actually heard somebody. But he's got a lot of stories to tell you. So this is 22. Go out, sow a seed in somebody's life. Take care and God bless.
God bless you. All right, big dog. I love you, boy.
Love you guys.
All the people.
All right, man.
All right.
All right. Yeah. That is our show for this week. And if you need help, get it. Right. Just get it.
Are we on?
There's nothing more we can say. We'll put out numbers next week and phone numbers. We didn't do that this week. We'll make sure we do it. Okay, take care. God bless.
All right. Take care.
Mm-hmm. I think we might be still on. If we are, listen, I know this is serious. Somebody get help. You don't have to be alone in this. That's why we're doing this show. All right. Take care. That's the end of the show for this week.